श्री वनधारे गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरी वरधारे यशोदानन्दन रज जन रंजन यशोदानन्दन रज जन रंजन जामुना तीरावन चारी जामुना तीरावन चारी Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare
still in your mood? Are you still somewhere else or are you chanting? From your sound I can see that a about 50% of the audience are chanting, but 50% are just not here. Somewhere in the dreamland of the mind, you have to connect the mind with the letters of the holy name. There's a whole holy name retreat is about that. So please, we need to give a little bit more effort to this. Please start the chant now.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Rama. Vishnupad Paramahansa Paravraja Kacharya Astata Satasi Simat Istivaingre Sila Ave Charanaravinda Sila Bhaktivedan Swami Maharaja Sila Prabhupada Ki Jai Anand Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai Iskon Founder Acharya Sila Prabhupada Ki Jai Samavita Vakta Vrinda Ki Jai Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to C.C. Guru. The new will, the new desire, the new experience is still very young. And the old habits, strengthened by long years of mindless indulgence, these old habits are really strong. So we now have to start, as we are closing the Holy Name retreat, to think about how we will create new habits in chanting. The idea of this retreat is not that, Madhava was there and sang very nicely, and I was also into it. But that's the past. We had so many nice kirtans in the past, but now I will return to my mindless chanting. After all, that's what we do in Krishna consciousness, no? No, you want to do something new. You want to take something new with you. And this morning's class will talk about this. It will be a little challenging for you to hear this. I can already request you to fasten your seat belts. We will go a little fast today. Now enter our last retreat. It's a very serious day. We really don't want to leave the farm as poor people. We want to be rich in devotional practice as we go back to our home places and then transform our life into something wonderful and extraordinary. So let us read the text. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Translation. It is an advice which Svayambhuva Manu, the Manu or father of the human population of the universe, gives to Dhruva Maharaj, helping him to come to the spiritual position. And he says, thus regaining your natural position and rendering service unto the Supreme Lord, who is the all-powerful reservoir of all pleasure, and who lives in all living entities as the Supersoul, you will very soon forget the illusory understanding of I and my. I would like to phrase it in simple English so that it is more comprehensible for us, especially early in the morning when we are just still a little shaky with our intelligence. So here it is in simple English. If you regain your natural position and render service to the Supreme Lord, then you will very soon forget the illusory understanding of yourself, this I and my. You will forget this dream world. Purport. Dhruva Maharaj was already a liberated person, because at the age of 5 years, he had seen the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But even though he was liberated, he was, for the time being, afflicted by the illusion of Maya. And thus he thought that he was the brother of Uttama, that was the name of his brother, in the bodily concept of life. Now Prabhupada makes one of these statements which only he can make. This whole material world, including Australia, is... Now listen. The whole material world is working on the basis of I and mine. This is the root of attraction to the material world. If one is attracted by this root of illusory conceptions, I and mine, he will have to remain within this material world in different exalted or nasty positions. By the grace of Lord Krishna, the sages and Lord Manu, reminded Dhruva Maharaj that he should not continue this material conception of I and mine. Simply by devotion and service unto the Lord, his illusion could be eradicated without difficulty. Kindly join me in the prayers. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Simade Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nivashesa Sunyavani Askatyare Sadhanine Jaya Sri Krishna Jaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasahi Govakraminda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Let us briefly remind ourselves of the context in which this text was spoken so that we can better understand its purport. Dhruva Maharaj had met Lord Krishna, but then afterwards returned to his home, and there he found his old stuff, so to say, his relationship to his brother, which was, before he had left for the forest, a troubled relationship. He found his father, he found his stepmother, and in that environment yet momentarily, and it's Krishna's arrangement, momentarily forgotten his deep, deep realizations which he had when he met the Lord, when he had darshan and when he had a personal exchange with him. And he became again a little bit covered, you could say. So when his brother Uttama was killed by a yaksha, that is a member of the Tibetan tribes, but a somewhat extraordinary member, a mystical person. When his brother was killed, as a result of his previous offenses, this brother was killed. Dhruva Maharaj lost his, you would say in Australian English, he lost it. He just thought, revenge. Revenge is a dish best tasted when served cold. And he went with his weaponry, a chariot, and a small contingent of soldiers. He crossed the Himalayan mountain range and he fell into the land of the yakshas. He fell like a bloodthirsty tiger into a herd of sheep and just slaughtered them indiscriminately, creating a bloodbath. Hare Krishna. Then as he was going about, like in one of these martial arts horror movies, just slaughtering these innocent people. It was the crime was just done by one person, but he was about to exterminate the whole race of yakshas in an ancient holocaust. When he was when he lost it like this, then Dhruva Maharaj gave him this wake up call. Hey, you're an illusion. You think that you are the body and this person who was born in your family is your relative, my relative, my brother Uttama. You're an illusion. Prabhupada then makes this comment. The whole material world is in this illusion. The whole material world is working on the basis of I and mine. Then he says, this is the root of attraction to the material world. If one is attracted by this root of illusory conceptions, I and mine, he will have to remain within this material world in different exalted or nasty positions. I'm a little bit familiar with this text and the purport, since I have given several lectures already on it. And all the time when I read it, I am remembering a very touching scene. It was my last meeting with Srila Prabhupada. He had left his bed in Vrindavan, where he was already preparing for his inevitable departure, and come one last time to the west to see his disciples and encourage them. He had to travel lying on four seats of the airplane. He came to London, and we devotees, we Sankirtan devotees, our different Sankirtan groups, they all left Germany in their vans and cars to see Srila Prabhupada for what would be the last time. A special darshan was arranged for us because we had been very skillful in distributing big quantities of Srila Prabhupada's books, and our GBC provided special access to Prabhupada to just a small group of, I think we were five, the Sankirtan leaders. And we entered Srila Prabhupada's room. It was a small room, I remember, not the large darshan room, because we were a small group. And I remember still the shock which went through my system when I saw the person whom I liked or loved more than anyone in this world. I was shocked because he was so emaciated, so thin. He had lost so much weight, and I was not prepared to see him like this. He was very, very alert to what was going on, but you could see he was sitting in something like a palanquin. It was an armchair which had an arrangement, you know, sticks, or I don't know how to really say, so that four strong people could carry him. It was an improvised palanquin. And as we were entering, his glance fell on us. Now, as disciples of Srila Prabhupada, I mean, everyone can tell you the same thing. When Prabhupada looked very consciously and very alertly on you, you felt, like you would say in your English language, put on the spot. No? The spotlight was upon you. And, you felt like he was looking through you, and you felt investigated. You know, he wanted to see what was going on. It was so intense that, as I now remember, I was very youthful and very temperamental, and I somehow moved in an awkward way, and that increased my bad situation. You always looked foolish before Prabhupada. I looked super foolish because I started to lose my dhoti. It was just such an impact. His glance and the whole situation. Please try to imagine with your active imagination. You come and see your spiritual master for the last time. You enter into his room. And you're not prepared by how he looks, so super radiant yet so emaciated. And that was a shock. And I remember I responded like that. So we all, of course, wanted to have that the natural question when you meet a person whom you love so much and he looks so different. All you want to know is how are you? How is your health? And is there anything we could do? Or, you know, just like this, you know. But Prabhupada was not into social talk. He wanted to make a point, knowing well that he would see us for the last time. And he said, "So," you know, this is how he used to introduce his point. It was a long drawn out, "So, have you understood our philosophy?" Now, when such a question came from him, you had to be careful. You had to really think before you gave an answer. And I had no trust in my thinking capacities at this moment. I vowed, I will be silent. I will not say anything because I will say the wrong thing. I know it. So my godbrothers volunteered. Someone said, Sarvadamam Parijaja. Which was a good answer. Prabhupada was not satisfied. He had something in mind. He said, no. Then some other answers came, I forgot them. But his mood only increased. He became like a lion just before the attack. If you've ever seen a lion like that, it is frightening. I saw in Africa, he was a lion who was prepared to jump on me. It's all right, it's all right. So then someone volunteered. I remember it was Haraka. Yaradeko Tariko Krishna Upadesh. Prabhupada cut him. He said, what is this Upadesh? Upadesh means instruction. The verse says, everyone whom you meet, tell him Krishna's instruction. Prabhupada said, what is this Upadesh? I want to know, have you understood the philosophy? He didn't say it, but that was implied. And we all fell silent and looked at him. And he looked at us. Finally, he said, first of all, you have to understand that life is eternal. Silence. After this, we just were silent. You know, he said it with such a strength that he was just, it was clear, he had already one foot in another room, the room of eternity. Only with one foot he was still with us here in this world. And he said, and his words had this impact on us because he was a realized personality, a pure devotee, as someone who was really very close to Prabhupada. To Krishna, I wanted to say. And he said, you look at me and you're worried because I look the way I look at this last moments of my life with you. But first of all, you have to understand, I'm not the body. I told you this all this while. You have to understand that life of me, of you, of everybody is eternal. We are parts of God. We are not what we seem we are. We are not these Indians, Germans, Australians. We are not even men or women, fathers and mothers, doubters and convinced ones. We are eternal soul. My dear devotees, the fog and the clouds of Maya will not go as long as we continue our spiritual life on the wrong basis of this temporary role, this face which we carry around. Not faith, face, Facebook. you know, this social identity, Facebook means it's an increased form of Maya. This face or this public image which we carry and which we most of the time interact with others, this is not spiritual. It is a temporary covering of the pure soul. Thus, in the Harinam Chintamani, there are some very strong reminders of how important it is for us to wake up from this illusion and act on the spiritual platform. And can I read to you two of these reminders? It will be intense. No problem? No problem. Okay. That, fasten your seatbelt, please. That low person who's obsessed with the conception of I and mine and who will not develop attraction to the holy name even after hearing its glory is an offender to the holy name. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he gives the purport to this. A person who is initiated into the chanting of the holy name, that's us, most of you. A person who is initiated into the chanting of the holy name, but who remains very strongly attracted to sense gratification, will think of his material body in terms of I and the other things around and mine. Such a person will fall from the path of devotional service. I know this is a strong pill to swallow, especially early in the morning. But let us think about this a little bit deep. You know, coming into the world, the pure soul is actually covered with different layers of illusion. The first and most subtle one is the ahankara, or the false ego. And based on that, is the body, the intelligence, and the mind, the way we relate to the world, and then comes the whole bodily drama, you know, the five gross elements. It is, as long as we go on with this, then we will not really be able to function on the spiritual platform. A little while ago, a very good friend of mine, he's a professor, and we have been talking since 30 years to each other. He married. And he said, everyone who comes to my marriage party, should come in a fantasy dress. You know, a costume. And I said, you know, it's very difficult for me. I'm always dressed like this. Is this not good enough? You know, I will certainly look different from everyone else. So is this all right? And he said, you are my best friend. You can do whatever you want. But as your friend, I will also request you something. My request that everyone comes dressed in a different way is because I would like that people move out of their ordinary space. He's a professor, little intelligent, and they will leave this daily life behind and they will act in a way which is different. And I, on my marriage day, I will give an explanation what is behind this, but I can't tell you now, it's a secret. And I phoned him, I said, no, I come as a Swami. Then after 2 weeks, I thought, he's my best friend. Let me say, one of my best friends. My best friends are devotees. He is very much like a devotee, but still a little bit a shadow of a devotee. And I said, so is it your desire that I come in another dress, or is it? Tell me your desire. He said, yes, it's my desire, but you do what you want. So I made a compromise. I put, this is not for the GBC, don't tell it. This is a secret. I put just a long coat, like Merlin the, what is it called? The wizard. Wizard is the English word. I put it, I wasn't dhoti. I did not break my dhoti principle. But just, you know, for a few hours, I was a wizard also. And you know, I was asked to give the speech for his marriage, and you know, not this speech, but one of the speeches, one deciding speech. I was asked, we were in a church, I sang kirtan, and was really beautiful thing. And then after, we just went, and he said, my dear friends, I want to tell you why I have asked you to come in costumes. When I asked you to come in costumes, I asked you you had to choose a costume. And when you were choosing your costume, you had to think what costume would suit you best. And while you were thus thinking, you were coming in contact with a secret desire, something which you would like to be. And I said, that's true in my case. I like to transform myself. I like to transform others. You know, like the wither goes to the frog and says, become a prince, son. And he becomes a prince. I like to also transform myself into a servant of Krishna, and I like to help others to do this, and in this way be a transformative agent. I could call it like this. And as a child, I was praying to God. I was very God conscious as a child. I was praying, please, my Lord, if you can give me a magical wand. That's the little stick which the wizard uses, zimzalabim. And I can transform others, and I can transform myself. And the Lord answered by giving me the Hare Krishna mantra. I think that's the formula. I'm very, very much convinced of this, that it can make an ordinary person into a servant of the Lord. Anyway, so he explained like this, and after he has explained it like this, I just took down the rope, you know, the coat I wanted to say. It just came out as a Hare Krishna Swami and preached like anything to everyone. There were very good people there. Zimzalabim, I said, and they said, what happened to you? Well, I'm a magician. I just changed into something. But now I'm the real one. This is my name, and I introduce myself. I'm initiated in this ancient lineage, and would you like to know more about? Yes, yes, yes. And then Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, I preached. Yes. But I wanted to make a point. All of us are like in that marriage party. And we are dressed in an illusory garb. We have to come to our real identity. All of us here, even the distracted bass player in the back, is in a maya. That is a very bad situation. We are identifying with a costume. We are on the costume ball of maya. And at one stage, there will be the ultimate player. He will have the head of a skull. He will be Mr. Death. Time I am. And he will wave his magical wand. Push! And we all will fall down and die. This is what we are into here. So the scriptures tell us, wake up, come away from this illusion. Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago. Gaura Chanda Bole. Lord Chaitanya has come. He has brought the medicine to end this illusion. This is the chanting of the holy name so that we can start our real life in earnest. At this moment we live a compromised life. We don't live the real life. We are bound in illusion. We need to wake up, otherwise our problems and troubles will persist indefinitely. Like Prabhupada says, the root of as long as this goes on, we will have to remain within this material world in different exalted or nasty positions. This refers to our next bodies. Yes, yes. There's a little booklet of Srila Prabhupada called Beyond Birth and Death. And there he says, again, first of all, we have to understand that we are an eternal soul. Not theoretically, like many of us, we have heard lectures, but practically by realization. This is necessary. Otherwise, you will remain the eternal neophyte, never moving even a centimeter away from material consciousness and into spiritual life. Especially when you chant, you cannot allow yourself to keep this illusion near to your heart. You must come to the spiritual position. Have you seen? When you chant, you come into a different space. Sometimes it's difficult after the chanting to continue to talk like you usually talked. One great person who has written a lot about chanting has said that by the chanting, the material mind is treated in a special way so that the illusions go out and you just do not wish to continue in the old ways. This is a desired result. But if you sit down to chant and you keep the anchor into this material world by still staying in your dream world of I am the body and then these material things, the role which I play, this is mine, it won't work. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and I will most probably end on this note, he said to come out of this shadow chanting, you need a simple meditation where you fix your mind in the correct understanding of your identity and in relationship to Krishna. It comes in the third chapter of Harinam Chintamani, where Haridas Thakur talks about the need to give up illusions and act on the spiritual platform, chant on the spiritual platform. He says, as long as one continues in the wrong concept of life, one will not get the fruit of the chanting, really. It's like, you know, if you want to go east, but you go to the west, the west is the best, some people say. If you want to go and get what is in the east, you can't simultaneously go to the west. So if you want to enter into spiritual consciousness or Krishna consciousness, you can't perpetuate, means continue, the material consciousness. What do you want? What do you want, to stay a material consciousness and take on body after body in the vain attempt to become happy? Or do you want to stay in spiritual consciousness and realize your eternal identity in relationship to Krishna? Make your choice. But if you make your choice to go into spiritual consciousness, don't go back to material consciousness. Don't go back, even as a Hare Krishna man or woman, into, yes, this I'm the body, this is my life, this is my role, Prabhu respect me, I'm an older devotee, and so on and so forth. Don't do this, because you won't get the fruit which you have come to get, and which is your birthright, which is just waiting a few inches away from you to be picked by you. Go to the east and stop going to the west. There all your treasures wait for you. So therefore, this is considered the tenth offense in chanting, to still maintain or perpetuate or continue your material identity and life, your fun life, your oh, I'm a beautiful person, look at my dhoti and my sari and my makeup and my way of dancing, and so on. This is all related to the illusion. Yeah. I'm very sorry to speak so strong, but I was informed by, I have an advisory board, Australian advisory board. I'm always a little bit mental. Can I speak like I ought? Usually speak a little direct, or do I have to wrap everything into birthday paper and so on? I said, no, we came for this. Some of us paid $2,000 to be in this. We want the juice. We want the essence. And then I try to serve you. I'm not thinking I'm better than you. I'm thinking I'm worse than you. I need to hear this lecture very much myself. But I know from meeting Prabhupada that in his last meeting, he wanted us to wake up. And therefore, he preached like us, like that. First of all, you know, don't now come with so much philosophy. Be real now. You have to understand life is eternal. Yeah. He would quote to us the example of... he would quote to us an example to make us understand how our spiritual life is compromised if we don't understand this. He gave the example of someone rowing a boat, but at the same time leaving the anchor in the ground. Have you ever done this? I'm coming from also an island, a very small island. It's like a speck of dust in comparison to Australia. It's called the island of Fehmarn. It's between North Germany and Denmark. I lived 10 years of my childhood there. I'm an island man. And we had a little boat, and I was rowing it, and I often was so enthusiastic to move forward that I forgot to lift the anchor. Start going. I'm trying, giving my best. Maybe I should eat more. I don't know what's wrong here. But I was not moving because the anchor remained. Don't do this in your spiritual life. The anchor to material life is this I and mind, this identification with the body and bodily pleasures. You can row for 40 years, but you won't move forward. And we have seen older devotees in age, they are not always, like me for instance, I'm 40, I'm doing this 45 years now. I mean, this doesn't mean I'm more advanced than you. If I keep my anchor, which I unfortunately sometimes do, often do, I could say, even often I would say, then I'm not advancing. And even though I try to chant so much and I'm trying to preach so much, it's the anchor is still in there. That's a problem. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives us a very good practice. Would you like to hear the remedy?
Yes.
Yeah. Why? You're laughing. Maybe to practice it? Think about this, huh? This is not theory. This is something earnest. This is something important. It's not just some words. Okay, let's survive the Bhagavatam lecture and then do something what is necessary. This is a luxury thing just to get my digestive juices flowing for the breakfast. No, this is essential, very important nourishment. No, this is what you need to do. Very simple. And we will have a workshop on it where we will really practice it until it's in our system. Bhaktivinoda or Haridas Thakur speaks in Harinam Chintamani to Gauranga Mahaprabhu, saying that, and he says that the person who wants to chant needs to meet a pure soul, no, and get the right understanding on which he bases his life or bases his chanting. And the right understanding, it's called Sambandha Gyan. Sambandha means relationship, and Sambandha Gyan means to put everything into the right relationship, in the right way. It sets everything on its right place. It means first, the meditation, I am an atomic particle of consciousness and Krishna's eternal servant. In simple English, I am a conscious soul and I am Krishna's eternal servant. Second meditation is, Krishna is the infinite conscious entity and my only master. In simple English, Krishna is the unlimited Lord and my only master. Third meditation. This material world is the prison house meant to reform my absent-minded tendencies. Let us quickly go through this understanding. Let us say you sit down to chant your rounds. Does this sometimes happen to you? Your laughter says yes, I'm doing this also. Don't you know, Maharaj, I'm in the holy name retreat, I have an interest in this subject. So you sit down either for your japa or your kirtan. Then you first sit down with your body, but then now you have to sit down with your soul also. You have to take your actual spiritual seat. It is sometimes vacant. Now you have to occupy it. I am a soul. I am the servant of Krishna. This is a very positive meditation. Then the next thing. Krishna is really my only master. At this moment, two things have happened. Your whole world has just come into the distance. The whole world based on the physical body or the role which we play for this life. And you are now in reality. I am the soul. And Krishna is my master. Then, because you know, you will now chant, and you know you are in the world, you know you have a life which you live, you think about this for a moment and you say, this material world of my life here is really only meant to do this now, that I can sit down and praise the Lord and do devotional service. I'm meant for this. This is more important than arriving in my suit and pants at the university for teaching. There's a very nice verse which I would like to recommend for you, which brings this understanding in a very devotional way to us. I will, those of you who are taking notes, this is a good time now. I will tell you where you find this verse, and you can read it and learn it. You will find it in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 22, verse 33. CC, Madhya Lila, 22:33. Krishna tomar hana yadi bale kabara maya banda hoite Krishna tare kare para. The translation, a beautiful verse. One is immediately freed from the clutches of maya. Immediately finished. If he seriously and sincerely says, my dear Lord Krishna, although I have forgotten you for so many long years in the material world, today I am surrendering unto you. I am your sincere and serious servant. Please engage me in your service. All the elements of this meditation are in this. You it starts from the back. You think, I am so long in this material world, I've forgotten you, but now I'm surrendering to you, and please know, I'm your sincere and serious servant. I'm not all this. I'm your servant. Forgotten it. I spaced out. Now I'm spacing in. I'm servant. And from this you chant and you beg, please engage me in your service. The service is, when you chant, it is the Shravanam and Kirtanam. Service. These are the foundational practices of bhakti or devotional service. My dear devotees, this works wonder. This nukes your illusion. Means it destroys your illusion. It deconstructs the maya and it constructs the spiritual reality. It is a very powerful way, and this should be done when you chant either in kirtan or in japa. Technically, this is called the Bhuta Shuti, purifying yourself from the material elements. Hari Bhakti Vilas says something about this. It says, unless a person performs this Buddha Shuddhi ritual, none of his spiritual activities will yield any result. All his japa, his homa, even if it is performed according to the prescribed rules and regulations. Because, see, you continue from the wrong basis. Do you know what pujaris do when they go into the deity room? Before they do this, before going into the deity room, they will... No, I'm now addressing Krishna. And they pray a simple prayer, which we have brought for you. It's a very nice prayer. Would you like to hear it? It's also, you know, freeing us from this illusion, this very persistent illusion. It says, I am by nature a prasadam lover. No, sorry. I got distracted because Sri Radhika cooks for me, and that's a very unusual and very highly praiseworthy preparation. So I have to now concentrate a little. Here I am. I am by nature the eternal servant of Krishna. But because of my own misfortune, I have been inimical toward him from time immemorial. Therefore, I have identified myself with my body and wandered continuously in the cycle of birth and death in this material world. And I've suffered the burning threefold miseries. But now something has happened. Now, as a result of some unimaginable good fortune, my spiritual master's mercy has enabled me to know that I am Krishna's eternal servant. An individual spiritual being, completely apart from this gross and subtle body. I'm getting goose pimples. So by the order of my spiritual master, I have obtained the good fortune of serving his lotus feet and following in his footsteps the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then you have to put your deity. If you're from Vrindavan, you will say, and Shishi Radha Shyam Sunda. If you're from here, you will say, by his order, I now have the good fortune to serve Mahaprabhu's lotus feet and the lotus feet of Shri Radha Govardhana Dari. In my traveling party, we worship Krishna's Radha Kanaya Lal, the most beautiful deities as far as I'm concerned. They're very small and very big at the same time. Good. So if you forget everything from this lecture, which most of you will do because you're overdosed with philosophy and you can't any longer concentrate, remember this one thing. Wake up. Finished. Hare Krishna. I thank you very much. Before I end, I have to say I'm very insecure when I talk like this. I'm insecure that maybe I sound arrogant and maybe I sound as knowing something and so on. And this is not how a humble Vaishnava would not use such language as I have used. to dramatize certain points, and I feel insecure. But please believe me, I'm trying to do this as a service to all of you, so that you will listen and not just listen on the automatic pilot, but you will have to listen, because you never know what will come next and in what language will I talk to you. Is it a sophisticated language, philosophical language, low-class language? You have to stay with it, so to say, and catch the point. So this is just a way to try to serve you. If I sometimes overdo it, which you can do when you choose such a style, and come over as overbearing, please forgive me. It's not my intention. Thank you very much. We have 7 minutes now left to 9 o'clock. Do you have a question regarding this? Yes, here's a question, and here's another question. Yes, please ask your question.
Thank you, Maharaj, for this wonderful class. I would like to ask, when we start to identify ourselves as a servant of Krishna, as a soul, so how will we be able to carry out our daily duties and take up our responsibilities if we have not like our material identity as father, like this?
Yeah. Did you understand the question? Hear it. And how will I continue my activities like a mother or father if I totally disconnect and go into this modus of I'm an eternal soul and a servant of Krishna? Well, the way you do this is you come to this platform of soul life, of spiritual life, and then you obviously do what you are doing as a servant. It's a complete different thing if you do this as a servant. For instance, it's a total different thing if I'm identifying with being a German. I was born in German. I have Germany. I have a passport like this. Or if I understand I'm a soul and I'm using my German genes, which are a little outspoken, you know, the certain conditioned way, in the service of others. If I'm identified as a German, I totally lose it. But if I use my body and my mind in the service of Krishna, I know it sounds. Yeah, I know this. I expected a more deeper answer from you, but it's really that simple. You just use the body and the mind, and so on. In this life, you have given birth to a child. You are married in this life to someone. You are relating to the child of the mother as a mother. The child needs your attention as a mother. You need to be fully there, and you do this as a service for Krishna, and this will make all the difference. It's not. It sounds easy, but it has to be practiced on a daily basis. What I would like to recommend you is, when you go into this role, in other words, when you dress into the in the costume, in your Merlin dress or whatever it is, your mother dress, just before you do it, say, I really want to do this as a service for Krishna. And that will make all the difference. It's a conscious meditation before this comes. Sri Jiva Goswami, Sridhar Swami says, before an activity, you just stop and you think, I'm doing this as a service for Krishna, and that will keep you on the spiritual platform. Thank you. There was a second question. Please ask your question.
Interested to know the prayers that you
Buddha Shruti prayers.
What's the origin of them and who wrote them? Because I've only ever seen it in English.
Yeah.
And I'm just curious to know who's the author and where do they come from?
Yes. I must admit to you, this is a question which I have since many years. I have not found the answer. I also only know it in English. But what I know is that there are different Vaishnava sampradayas or lineages. There's the Vallabha sampradaya. Also, Prabhupada speaks in Nectar of Devotion about this. He says it's a bona fide line. And there, they initiate you into a Brahma Sambandha mantra. And it was given by Krishna to Vallabhacharya. And this mantra sounds very much like this. I have it in one notebook, but from my memory, it sounds just, "Oh Lord, I forgot you. I left you and came into this world where I adopted a material body and identified with it, and as a result, my life has become endlessly complicated." Endlessly complicated. I remember this. And now I dedicate everything for you. My home, my children, my wealth, my body, my sense of identity, Shri Krishna Sharanam Aham. Oh Krishna, please give me your shelter. That is the initiation. It's a Brahma Sambandha mantra, and according to this lineage, if you chant it, Krishna accepts you. So it is something which Vaishnavas do. All the Vaishnavas who are sitting on the broad bent of Vaishnavism, you know, they do this knowing very well that you have to disconnect from Maya and connect with spiritual reality so that you can live a bona fide spiritual life and your spiritual practice is taking place on the thing. And it's so simple. Sit down, mister. Sit down, sister. Sit also as a soul down. Come to the reality. I am part of Krishna. And then act from there. So I want to end here. Please stay for one more minute. But I'm seeing, probably your name is Gaura Hari, isn't it? You are the sound man. I cannot see from the distance, but I can see from your transcendental effulgence. Thank you for giving pleasure to our heart. Thank you, Hare Krishna. So we will end this class here, and now we will request Banu Nandini as our facilitator to give us an orientation of the day. This is the closure of our whole retreat. Please stand there. Mm-hmm. And